With you this evening, and some of you I've seen, and some of you I don't believe I have seen, or I don't recognize, I'm sorry, but praise God.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I was looking for a particular verse, which I have not been able to find, but I found this one, and it's similar. It's in Hosea, and it's in the fourth chapter, and I'm basically going to start at the first verse. Praise God.
Hosea.
You know, they call him minor prophet, but I don't know why. Because I don't think any word of God is minor. And any vessel that chooses to submit to the authority of God cannot be of lesser value or of smaller, or what he contributes, smaller than what someone else may contribute. So praise God. You know, it's really like a mosaic puzzle. You know, these puzzles you put together with these little bitty pieces. And you work very diligently to put it together, and you get down to the end and you have one piece and you can't find it. And it also usually so happens to be right in the middle of the puzzle or somewhere, the picture. And it just mars the whole thing. So it's really not complete without the totality of the pieces. So the piece that Hosea is contributing here in the fourth chapter, the first verse, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversies with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no knowledge, there's no truth, there's no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, it break out and blood such as blood. There shall also the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. With the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for my people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother." And then it says in verse 6, this is the main verse, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I shall also reject thee. And thou shalt be a priest, be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I shall also forgive thy children." Verse 6 is really the remedy or the cause of the first five verses. The verse that I was really looking for is the one that talks about the people of God perishing because there is no vision. And I've heard many different renditions shared from many different people as they have ministered, and it seems as though the vision or the reality of what it is that is in the mind of God concerning His people and the purpose for which He has created us is not the central theme of the message when they are speaking concerning that issue. One of the indictments against the New Testament church, and it's the New Testament church in particular, is that they did not know God. You can go into the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. At the end of the day, going through the different process, which I'm not going to go through, but at the end of the day, when those virgins who had no oil, who were sent out to buy oil, came back evidently having bought the oil, to knock on the door to see if they could enter, the bride of the groom said, I do not know you. Hallelujah. So it isn't so much what you have, it is when you have it. Hallelujah. That is a benefit to you and I at the end of the day. Now, if you look at that parable of the 10 virgins, there is something significant in it, in that it is specifics to two categories of Christians. It's not dealing with the heathens, it's dealing with Christians. Virgins are always indicative of Christians. Hallelujah. And the two categories are those that had oil, which is can be translated by reason of the parable, the knowing of God, knowing Him. Hallelujah. The Christians that did not have the oil, hallelujah, were Christians. They had the blood of Jesus Christ. They evidently had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they did not utilize what they had for the purpose for which it was given to them. And at the end of the day, they could not participate with the other five. I'm not saying they didn't get into heaven. I'm not saying that they did not wind up in the presence of God. What I am saying is that there was a position or a place of elevation that they did not achieve. That was not theirs to have and could not be given to them because they did not do what it was they needed to do prior to that event. Hallelujah. Now, you know, some people, I suppose, are satisfied with just making it into heaven. I don't know. Hallelujah. Just getting over, just getting in. My mother used to say, getting in by the skin of my teeth, in doing what was right. But God does not necessarily look at it in the same way. There is a calling, there is an election, there is a position, there is a place of excellence that God wants to give to individuals who demonstrate that they are worthy of that honor. They are worthy of that position or that place by virtue of what they have done with what God has given them. And I'm not talking about work saving souls. All of that is necessary. What I'm talking about is knowing God. Hallelujah. You know, I have some special friends, and they are very close to me. I've worked with some of them for over 40 years in the gospel. And I can say unequivocally, of all the people who I know them. And they know me. I know who they are. I know what they are. I know their integrity and all of the aspects of their character. And I would trust them implicitly, without reservation. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And we are supposed to have a relationship with God that is similar, if not in aspect, go beyond that. Hallelujah. So you have to understand that there is an objective. Before you can begin to utilize what God has given to you, you have to understand why He gave it to you. Praise the Lord. And it really starts out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God said amongst Himself, "Let us make man." How was He supposed to make him? In our own image and in our likeness. Praise the Lord. Now, Genesis chapter 1 deals with the image, and I really don't know that I will go into that tonight either. But what He desired to produce was an entity of life that was compatible, comparable to Himself. Hallelujah. So the principle that is set down in Genesis chapter 1 is that everything must produce after its own kind. Hallelujah. So the question is, what kind are we? Hallelujah. Now, when we are born in the natural, we are of the kind of Adam, which is under judgment because of sin. Hallelujah. But when we are what? Born again. You know, the Bible could have said reborn. They could have said, born of another time, but it says, when you are born again. It means that as you were born in the natural, you are also born in the spirit by virtue of your acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ. That means you are lifted out, you are translated out of a kingdom of darkness, a nature of darkness, a heritage of darkness, into a different family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Now, you know, in Africa, the aspect of family is somewhat more precise than it is in other parts of the world, Europe or America. Family is very important. Your issue of blood is very important. That's why you have tribal differences and conflicts and all of the things that go in that arena. Why is it? Because everyone thinks that their heritage, their blood, is the essence of perfection and is the thing that needs to be in a position or a place of supremacy. Praise the Lord. So, but in the aspect of what it is we have in God, God had to develop a means by which we could be translated, that we could be removed from that atmosphere, that we could be removed from that environment. Hallelujah. And have a position or a destiny or an end to living that was eternal in the aspect of life and living and light. Praise the Lord. So he devised the means by which he could facilitate that desire. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you also know the relevance of blood. And it's important it plays both in the natural arena as well as in the spiritual arena. The problem with the natural arena, it has taken a spiritual concept and corrupted it. And you began to utilize it in a fashion that was an abomination to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But when we are born again, it does not seem in reality that anything has happened other than maybe some aspect of internal relief and internal an effervescence of joy that comes. But oftentimes we lose that in our life of living in a Christian way because of the tribulation and the trouble that is around us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But if we know God, if we understand the reality of God, if we begin to come to grips with the thought of God in an eternal existence with an eternal purpose, and that eternal purpose is something that He has developed for us. Hallelujah. But that eternal person is not something that is down the road in front of us at some point, at some time, when we have run our race, when we finish our course, and we move into the realm of what we call heaven by passing over. Now that's what we've been taught. That's what we have been taught. That's what the church has taught us. Hallelujah. It teaches us that you cannot receive the totality of God while you are yet in your flesh. You have to die. Eh? Is that right? Huh? Or maybe you go to a different church. But I've been in a lot of churches, and the churches all teach the fact of perfection as something that lies across Jordan, that lies in another realm, that lies in a place that we call heaven. Hallelujah. As though God could not do what He needed to do in the beginning. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. In the environment in which God created man. Do you hear me? God created him in a particular environment and created him a little lower than the angel.
Yes.
And yet He says He has exalted him to be over all the work of His hand. Praise the Lord. Now, before we go on, I want to. There's a little scripture that is found in Hebrews. I just want to read it. I believe it is Hebrews Let's see, is it? I have to find it. And let me see, Hebrews. I believe it is. It's where he is talking. Maybe it's Hebrews 11. All right, Hebrews 11. Yes, it's Hebrews 11. And if there are any examples in the Bible, or as far as history is concerned, concerning the position of faith and integrity of their Christianity, it is definitely Hebrews chapter 11. I cannot say that in my lifetime or in the things that I am experiencing and going through that I even hardly measure up to what to the testimony here of what it was going on. But there's a peculiar verse here in verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "And these all having," now it's including everybody from Abraham. No, it includes everybody from Abel to the latter part of the chapter where it deals with those Christians of the New Testament, and all of these, hallelujah. Now, if you can just imagine all of these having attained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. Hallelujah. What was the promise? Verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So perfection is not something you attain because you die. Perfection is something you obtain because you receive the totality or the reality of the presence of God inside of you. Hallelujah. No matter what the position or the place of tribulation might be, and I'm sure that many of you know tribulation, hallelujah, that tribulation and that fire is designed to work in the inward parts of your being to facilitate that which God has given you and bring it to a position or a place of predominance. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Tribulation is not meant to destroy you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tribulation is designed to enhance, to encourage, to give you the strength in the midst of it to accomplish that which God has programmed you for by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of our problems, I think, as a church, is we do not understand the reality of what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. When I am born again, I wake up in the morning and my name is still Asbel. Hallelujah. I still have an Asbel heritage on my father's side. I still have an Ellsbury heritage on my mother's side. All of those factors are working in me. In fact, there are certain things that I have been in bondage to that did not naturally dissipate because I was born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, in the church, I wasn't taught to overcome. I was taught to be religious. Hallelujah. And I got saved in a Baptist church. I was taught to be religious. There were certain protocol that was necessary because I was Baptist and I was born again. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And as long as I fulfilled that protocol, mm-hmm. I was okay as far as the Baptist church was concerned. Mm-hmm. But that protocol did not work in me the means by which I might be made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Because the Baptist has a theology, whether you have it here in Africa or not, I don't know, but it's an underlying foundational principle of the Baptist religion. Mm-hmm. That principle is once saved, always saved. That's the underlying factor of that Baptist religion. And the Bible it contradicts that. The Bible is contradictory of that thought of theology. Because the Bible says, I am to work out my salvation with what?
Fear.
Now, if I'm saved, and no matter what happens, I will always be saved, why do I need to fear or tremble? Why do I need to have an uncertainty? Huh? And then if you go into Revelations, let's go over there for just a moment, and I want to go to the fifth church there in Revelation. Hallelujah. I want to go to the fifth church, which is the church of Sardis. I want to go to the fifth there that... and he says in the chapter 3, verse 5, he says, he that what?
Oh my.
In fact, every church of the seven churches has this phrase, he that overcometh. What does overcoming mean? It means having victory over something, doesn't it? Doesn't it mean having that position, a place of control? Doesn't it mean having the ability not to be tempted or to fall? He that overcometh, what's he going to do? The same shall be clothed in white raiment. Okay. Can I read the Bible in converse? You know what I mean? If I do not overcome, am I going to be clothed?
No.
In white raiment?
Mm-hmm.
All right. No. And he says, I'm going to go back to he that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Mm-hmm. Hello? Mm-hmm. Blot out? That means eliminated. That means taken away. Right?
Yes.
What if I do not overcome? My name will be blotted out. Hallelujah. And it says, he that overcometh, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, when you go through the Old Testament and you are reading the instructions that was given to Moses according to what it was the children of Israel had to adhere to, what it was they had to do, what it was they had to obey, and the infraction of some of those rules and regulations was the sentence of death, even to the fact of a rebellious child. If a child was rebellious, if it would not mind his parents, they were to take him to the elders, and the elders would examine the situation and pronounce a verdict as to what should be done. And if the verdict was severe, the child would be stoned. Now you're talking about a loving natural God, a loving God, huh? Hello? Has that God changed in his thinking or in his and how he perceives humanity and what it for what it was created for? I don't think so. Hallelujah. And if the tolerance to sin was so great as to impose upon that people that type of severity, how is it that God is going to justify my rebellion? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you know, they did not have the revelation of what we have, and God in his mercy sent his son into hell to preach to the captivities. Praise the Lord. But that was a one-time thing. That was a one-time event. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a greater knowledge. We have a greater ability to perceive and to understand. Hello. Praise God. So here we are. It says, so we know that salvation in and of itself is not something that is everlasting, without the fact of what it is we do to enhance that position. Praise the Lord. So when God created man, he had a specific thought in his mind. He had a specific intent in his mind. And that mind, that thought was that that man should be like him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. I have done it like him. And I begin to look at the attributes of God. Who is this God? Hallelujah. Can you define him? How is it that you can describe him? Can you draw him on a piece of paper? Hallelujah. He is so big and so ominous and so expandable and so so elusive to our low ability to comprehend him. But he didn't leave us in that dilemma. He sent a man by the name of Jesus, praise the Lord, that we could relate to as a human being who moved and had his being in a natural environment, under natural circumstance, and he did what he was supposed to do with what God gave him. Hello? Now, we want to put Jesus in a different category of humanity than the humanity in which we are residing. Hallelujah. But it's not so. Because though his father was God, he had a natural mother. And with his natural mother, he received the inheritance of the bloodline, of all of the bloodline that followed her down to the time and the birth of her son, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he had to overcome. You know, it says that he was tempted in all things, even as we are. If you don't have the propensity to be tempted, how are you going to be tempted? If you have no desire for gold, and I come with gold, and I am giving you gold for you to do something that you wouldn't normally do, are you going to be tempted? Huh? Absolutely not. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he had to have the propensity. He had to have the propensity within his being. Hello? To sin. Hello? Hallelujah. Not only in the natural arena, but when the devil brought him into the desert, and it's written in the scripture that he was filled with the Spirit, and that God, it was as though God drove him into the wilderness. Hallelujah. So he had overcome in the natural realm. Now he had to demonstrate that overcoming in the spiritual confrontation with darkness and the devil. Hallelujah. But we know that he overcame it all. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, when you and I come in our natural being, in our natural state of existence, to a position or to a place where we receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't just receive the blood, we receive the blood of God. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Blood determines your kind. Blood determines your position of relationship with humanity. Do you understand? In the natural, you have a certain blood that identifies you with a certain family, with a certain tribe. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. And your position of conversion is the same as what it was with Mary. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. They say that she had an immaculate conception. Well, when you were born again, your conception is immaculate. It's not by virtue of man. It's not by virtue of the flesh. It is by virtue of the will of God. Because when you are sitting or you are in a position of sin, and a man comes or a woman comes and they minister to you, They are nothing more than a vehicle for a specific word that they are bringing you concerning your condition.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Who? What was it that Mary? What was it that brought Mary to the position or to the place of her ability to say, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord"? Because she was in a place of wavering. How can this thing be? I do not know a man. Hallelujah. But there was an angel called Gabriel. Praise the Lord. Now, the word angel comes from the Greek word angelos. And it means one who bears a message. That's all it means. That's all it means. One who bears a message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the only thing that Gabriel was doing was bringing a message. And the power of the strength of the message was of the Spirit of God that was in the message. Hallelujah. So he began to speak the words of God. Began to speak the words of God to Mary. And as those words were coming, it began to build within her being a platform by which she might have the strength to behave. Hallelujah. What was your circumstance? When you were in sin, when you were without hope, when you were in a position or a place of death and desolation, how and where and who spoke to you concerning the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about your conversion, but there have been many people who have come to me on various occasions and have spoke to me about the blood of Jesus Christ and the need to be saved. But on those occasions, I have no interest. I have no interest. Why? Because they were not the messengers of God. They had good intentions. They had a desire. Well, praise God. God bless them for that intention. But they were not anointed. Hallelujah. They did not carry the strength. They had the word. Hallelujah. But they did not have the spirit of the word. And I mean the spirit of God in the word. Hallelujah. And so I said no. Praise the Lord. One day, one person came to me, said the same thing, used the same scriptures, and the response was totally different. Why? Huh? It had the power of God in the Word. Hallelujah. It had the power of life in the Word. And when I accepted that, hallelujah, God moved. Hallelujah. And I became born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that was not enough, because in the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that the angel said that the power of God shall overshadow you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will overshadow you. So when God gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is not something that God gives us for the purpose of speaking in tongues and the different manifestations that come with that baptism. That baptism is given to us by virtue of a particular responsibility that the Holy Spirit has and must do in order to fulfill the will of the collective Godhead. Hello? Hallelujah. There's something very interesting. There's something very interesting in Genesis chapter 1. During the process of creation, in the first several verses, it says, "And God said." And God said. And God said. You know? It uses the word Elohim, which is a plural form of gods. You could just as well say, "And God said." It uses the word Elohim. Hallelujah. But when it comes to the creation of man, it's very specific. He says, and God said, let us. It's the only place in the creation of what God created that he said, and let us. It is as though God had a council with himself and the three entities of his being, and each one of them was designated or delegated a particular responsibility for producing the finished image, the finished of this thing, man, that God was creating. Hallelujah. And as you read the scripture, you find that. The Holy Spirit is given to us, John chapter 14, is given to us for the purpose of what? Leading us where? Into all truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you follow the thought of that word truth and how it is implied in that scripture concerning the Holy Spirit, you find that that truth is talking about a man who has God inside of him that was demonstrated by the reality of Jesus who had the Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there's a place that we need to have the understanding of what it is God is wanting to do. If you don't have that understanding, in the midst of dire tribulation, great tribulation, such as the world has never, ever known, you will not have the strength. I will not have the strength to endure and to stand. Oh, I say, I would not reject my Lord. I would not do what Peter did. Peter would have told you, I'm ready to die for you, God. And yet, what did he do?
He denied
him. Yeah. Am I better than Peter? Do I have the relationship with Jesus Christ that Peter had with him? Hallelujah. No. I'm working toward that place. I'm wanting that relationship, but I have to have also the understanding of what it is I'm involved with. I'm a builder by virtue of my trade through the years. I'm a builder, and I need a blueprint. If you want me to build you a house, you have to give me a blueprint. You can't just say, well, you come in and you just build it however you like. Huh? As long as it has a roof and doors and windows and three rooms. Come on, give me a break. Hallelujah. I'm not going to come in and contract the job. You have to give me a blueprint. Hallelujah. So it is necessary for us as a people, to understand the reality of what it is God is wanting to achieve. Hallelujah. And it's a good illustration as far as the house is concerned, because the Bible says that ye are what? The temple of God. Hallelujah. And as the temple of God, there is a construction project going on in your life, in my life, and the life of every Christian that is has been saved and desires to receive the totality of what it was that God is wanting to do. So praise the Lord. There was another verse, let's see, Isaiah, but I'm not quite sure where it was. Isaiah 5, verse 13. It says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth, without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall redescend into it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Brethren, there is no reason why this verse should apply to you and I. Hallelujah. But without encouraging the right environment, without strengthening the necessary things, or knowing what it is that needs to be done concerning our soul, hallelujah, then the destiny or the place that we end up could very much likely be what is being described here in this chapter. So when you look at man and the aspect of how he was created in the image of God, and there is the desire of God to bring that image into a compatibility and harmony with himself, so that as you see it, you see God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. When you walk down the street, it's not you walking. It's you walking encapsulated in God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I want you to think about it. Because, you see, the Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, that all creation, what? Groaneth and travails unto when? Even now. It's a present tense. Even until now. For what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Creation. Now, we are taught that all of creation is going to be destroyed. We're going to be lifted out of the tribulation. Have you heard that teaching? And all of creation is going to be destroyed. So why is creation groaning and travailing if it's going to be destroyed? Why is it travailing? Because it is not to be destroyed. It is to be redeemed. The business of God is not destroying. The business of God is redeeming. The business of God is not death and desolation. The business of God is life and liberty. The whole principle of some of the theology that we have in the Bible is contrary to the nature of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it says, I want to read the last part of that verse because that's really some of the key of it. It says because, verse 8:21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Does that sound like destruction to you? Does that sound like desolation? And decimation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That sounds like redemption. That sounds like life and liberty. Hallelujah. So there is a position, and it that verse is in harmony with what it was that God commanded them in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and God bless them. Hello? You know, God's blessing is not like I say, well, God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Well, at least I hope I'm coming up a little bit in my ability to bless. Praise the Lord. But when God blesses, it's not a verbalization of good intentions. You understand what I'm saying? When God blesses, something comes out of God. There's an energy, for lack of a better word, an energy of life, an energy of authority. You're talking about an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God. Hallelujah. And when he blesses, the entire entity of his being is in that blessing. And it's an energy that comes into you. And it has in it the authority to do what it is
that he's blessing you to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an eternal thing. It's not something that's temporary that goes for 5 or 10 minutes a week, maybe a month, maybe even a year. It's an eternal thing that has the capacity to expand, to grow, to such a magnitude that it's incomprehensible for us to determine where it is that it winds up at the end of the day.
Hmm.
Hallelujah. But he was very specific in what he blessed them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And it's not fruitful in a physical sense. It's not fruitful on a natural level. Because the natural level is a shadow of the spiritual reality of what is called the kingdom of God. And we have no concept of what that reality is. We want to humanize it. We want to humanize it. We want to make it a natural place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever had a dream, or have you ever had an experience where you were lifted out of your natural environment into a different environment? Huh? Have you ever had that experience? Hallelujah. I remember one time I was, it's very simple to understand as I give you the little story. I was in a very difficult, my wife and I and family, we were in a very, very difficult place. And we had moved from one place to another place, another state. We didn't have much at the time we moved. We had less when we moved. And we had 2 babies at that time. And we went to work or to help facilitate a ministry that we had come in contact with, and everything just went south. So we found out that people were not what they were supposed to be. We found out that they weren't going to help us in the way that they said they were help us. So kind of frankly, we were just kind of left destitute and on our own. Hallelujah. And one day, I was sitting in a meeting with them, and I was feeling the depression. I was feeling the thought of making a mistake and all of that things and how my family was suffering. And all of a sudden, God came in. Hallelujah. And came down on me. And I was no longer there. I was lifted out of that place. And I was lifted into a vision. But it wasn't really like a vision. It was like I was actually there. And I could hear with my ear. And I could feel with my skin as the breeze was blowing. I could feel it. And I could discern something that was going on. And it was like God had just taken me up out of that position, out of that place. Now, we want to say it was just an experience. But I am telling you, brethren, I was in a different place. I was in a different place. And as the vision goes on, I'm not going to go into the vision, but as the vision goes on, it was about redemption and the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A joy began to well up in me.
Amen.
Joy began to well up in me. And I began to laugh. And I began to sing. And I was doing all of that. Nobody else was feeling it, but I was up there in a different place, laughing and singing in the joy of God, because I knew that Jesus Christ was coming.
Hallelujah.
And all of the creation around me was rejoicing.
Amen.
The flowers were rejoicing. The grass was rejoicing. The trees were singing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I was lifted up out of this lower realm, and in actuality I was in a different place.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
I was still there, physically still there, but I was, and when I came down, that joy resided.
Yeah.
I was no longer depressed. I was no longer out of it. And shortly after that, God made a way for us out of those circumstances.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Mm. So the reality is not this. Oh yeah, it's real, because if I try to walk through that turret, I'm going to get hurt. Or try to walk through that wall, I'm going to get hurt. The reality is not this. The reality of the existence they have inside of us and the environment in which we are walking, hello, is a reality that we call heaven, that is some mystical, magical place. But it's really the presence of God. Hallelujah. And as I walk down the street, if my mind and my heart, my emotions, my desires are set on one fact, one thought, one purpose, one destiny, to be like Him.
Hallelujah.
Then God is going to walk with me.
Amen.
And as God walks with me, those that have something in their heart that discerns God, that wants God, hallelujah, they are going to see it. They're going to recognize it. Not only that, but I believe the creation itself will say, there goes one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you hear me? I believe it. I believe it, but I want to believe it until it becomes such a reality that nothing else can disturb it or shake it or make me come to a place to even doubt about it. Hallelujah. You know, God is calling us to a higher position. God is calling us to a different level of existence, to get out of the lower realm of humanity, to get out of the lower realm of humanity, because He says He's going to take man and lift him up where? To put him as an authority over all of His creation.
Hallelujah.
And it's not isolated to this little realm we call earth. Hello? You look up into the heavens. Oh my goodness. They say it's still going on. It's still developing. That's what they say, the scientists. They say it's still developing. They can't understand why, but it's still developing. It's because God is a God of creation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He must create in order to be God. And He has put that power of creation within us. Because you have the totality of God encapsulated in your humanity.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a matter of getting that encapsulated God out of the encapsulation that he's in, and that you become one with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just read one more verse, John chapter 17. That deals with that thought. And I suggest that you read the entirety of John chapter 13 because it deals with the thought of the Word and God. And God is the Word, even as we have been talking about it. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 17, neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hello? Did you see it? Not my word, their word. Why? Their word has become His word. His word has become their word. One in the same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That they may be one. You know, we are trying to achieve oneness outside of the perimeter of what has been dedicated, consecrated by God to have that oneness. Hallelujah. We were just talking about that at the table tonight, I believe. Hallelujah. That they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that they, world, may believe that Thou hast sent me. Well, brethren, I ask you, if you come to this position, where does God start and you begin? Do you hear me? Where does God start and you begin? It's all God. If Thou art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. That the world. It's a demonstration, not for the heavenly things, a demonstration for the position of where they are living. That the world might believe what? That Thou hast sent me.
Hallelujah.
So what are they saying? What is he saying? They see them, they see us.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? They see you, they see God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.